Every year, the yearly meeting sets aside January as Peace Month, a month for us to look at our peace testimony and consider a new facet of that, consider how it is that we are led as peacemakers. This year, they've really looked at the biblical basis for the peace testimony. Jesus' teachings on peace here on earth are not really an afterthought to his purposes, nor are they merely a subplot of Jesus' ministry. The call to peace is really woven throughout Jesus' ministry. I feel a little hot. Philip, can you turn me down a little bit? He is on it. So the call to peace is woven throughout Jesus' ministry. Jesus begins his ministry on earth with these words: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." That's really his mission statement, his purpose on earth, his inaugural statement, if you will take it. But Jesus' teachings on peace are really an ethic for all Christians, and they're present throughout all four of the Gospels. It's not just a unique Quaker thing that we're known for a peace testimony and that we're unique, nor is it really just about the three peace churches, Mennonite, Brethren, and Quaker, all who really came along a long time after Jesus was present, but that Jesus calls all people, all followers of Jesus, to live in the way of peace. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Old Testament, and I said we were going to take a hop, skip, and a jump through the Old Testament. Well, today we're going to take a hop, skip, and a jump through the Gospels and think about Jesus' words around peace. I'm not going to read all of the scriptures, although I have scripture references for every point that I'm going to make. But since I don't think we really want to be here all day, we will pass on reading scripture, although I'm happy to let you know what's behind it. First of all, the love command. That Jesus calls in his followers to love God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And then he goes on to really talk about who is a neighbor that is given in the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Good Samaritan who stopped to heal the, help the wounded alongside the road. And the trademark by which Jesus' followers are to be known is by their love for each other, their sacrificial love for one another. We're not to be known by our theologies or our political positions or our beliefs, all of those kinds of things. He said, by your love for one another will others know that you are my disciples. But Jesus, while he says that we're to love others, he doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, love your enemies. And he calls us to love our enemies and to pray for those who despitefully use us. He says even the Gentiles and tax collectors can return good for good, evil for evil. But that we're called to live by our higher standard and respond with love to all people, even those who do us harm. The third point is that Jesus said to renounce vengeance and to live by a third way. We unpacked this a little more fully last week when we talked about how nonviolent generosity creates new possibilities. When you're slapped, that to stand with dignity, turn the other cheek, risk a forehand hit, but take it as an equal and demand that others treat you as equals. If a cloak is requested, give them your undergarments as well, and by so doing, expose the system. Or carry a load twice the distance as a means of seizing the initiative and calling out those abuses that are done only to the limit of the law. Our kingdom is other. Our kingdom is the kingdom of God. Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. If it were, his disciples would fight to defend it. And Jesus said that the truth can never be furthered by force. In fact, he told them to put away the sword. We are to seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all we need will be given to us. We live in this countercultural kingdom of God. And in this place that is the kingdom of God, servanthood, not domination, is success. Jesus' kingdom, it turns out, does things in an upside-down manner. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Jesus said the Gentiles or others lord it over their subjects, but not so among you who follow Jesus, who follow after me, he said. And that the one who wishes to be first must be the servant of everyone. Jesus said to put away your sword. In fact, he commanded his followers who cut off the ear of the high priest that when they took him prior to the crucifixion, Jesus said, put away your sword. And that those who live by the sword will also die by the sword. And despite its destruction, that the way of God is to raise the temple in 3 days. While often they didn't understand that Jesus would live again and would be raised again, that Jesus would triumph over that and that there was a new way of being. Jesus said, forgive rather than to avenge those who do harm to you. He commands his followers to forgive even the undeserving. When asked how many times should we forgive, Jesus said not 7 times, but 77 times. And that God's forgiveness is the kind that we are to copy, that we are to have mercy on others just as Christ has had mercy on us. And as we forgive, so we are forgiven. The Lord's Prayer, that we are to forgive as we forgive others. And then Jesus' command to us after the resurrection was to forgive others, and they will be forgiven. To not withhold forgiveness, or they will not be forgiven. So we must forgive. Next, Jesus tells us to embrace the cross. To take up your cross and follow me. That he wishes that all who wish to save their life will lose it. But those who are willing to release life for the sake of Christ and Christ's way will paradoxically find their life. And following Jesus may not protect you from persecution. Hard times may come, and yet we persist in following Jesus and the ways that he leads us. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. He said, peace I give you, not of this world. He promises his followers that he will bless us with peace. Not as the world gives, bolstered by outward symbols of security, but by inward peace that overcomes the world. He gives us this peace by means of the Holy Spirit, and he invites us to receive the Holy Spirit, to live in community with the Holy Spirit, and to know this peace. And that this is the only way to overcome the world, but by trusting Jesus and walking with Jesus step by step. As followers of Jesus, we are to live as peacemakers. We follow Jesus in the way of peace. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment. It is daily trusting in the living Christ who is present with us today. It's a willingness to suffer the consequences. It is both bold and modest. It is both loud and silent. It's always listening for nudges, next steps, way forward, and is willing to follow the leading, whatever it may be. It is not easy, and it may be very costly, but we choose faithfulness over ease. We choose to be peacemakers because we believe it to be the faithful response to our decision to follow Jesus. We have decided to reject the option of violence, believing that peace is not only possible, but often practical. We choose love. We choose life. We believe in miracle because we choose Christ. Let us wait in open worship, listening in the silence, for that message which God would give directly to us. And if message comes, raise your hand, the microphone will be brought so that all might hear. Let us listen.